And we're from Alaska, and we lived here, and we're going to live here for the rest of our life, and all our younger ones are going to stay here. And one of the things that was brought forward earlier was a high cost of living in Alaska. That seems to be the famous word in Alaska, cost too high to live in Alaska. But also, it's a rich state. We have a lot of resources. It's a very rich state. We have a lot of different resources. Like, we've got a good agricultural land, we've got a lot of timber, we've got a lot of minerals, and we've got fisheries. And then most of all, we got oil. But people that sit in Congress, that our Alaska delegation has been there, we've been in Kansas State about almost 30 years ago. We were part of the union. And I don't know, Senator Stephen had 16 years of that Alaska delegation in the capacity. And all the resources that I named are vast in Alaska. We've got lots of it. If they can manage it, just one, that would benefit the Alaskan would be good. It would be great. We would have good education facility. It would cost less to travel. A lot of commodities would come in cheaper. A lot of the raw material that leaves our state would get finished. We'd get a finished product in the state and then get more, generate more cash in Alaska and more jobs. But that's not the case. That is not the case. And what I really, it disturbed me is that we are Native people, we're Indians that live in Arctic Village. And we have an IRA organization, which is an Indian organized group. And we have 1.9 million acres of land. And we are in position to manage the land, to manage our land. But we cannot function properly with high cost of fuel, high cost of travel, high cost of communication. It costs a minimum of $1.65 to make what 1 minute call from here, anywhere.
Okay, my friend, I'm gonna ask for the next speaker.
If there's any bright side to this issue, I'd like to hear it. You know, for us, there's no bright side. That no slope oil has been pumping the last 10 years. And we haven't seen any lower price in fuel. We pay $20 a can here for 5 gallons. And it's a shame for Alaska delegation to say to quit for more development and just overlook this issue like that.
Let me add that this meeting is being transcribed officially for the Interior Committee. And its records will be available to many other members of Congress. So if you wish to submit anything in writing, you can do that, including your notes, if you'd like. Let me move ahead with the next person that wanted to speak.
My name is Ernest Eric, and I'm the Native Village Tribal Chief. I represent Vinny Tai and Arctic Village. Great song on behalf of all the members to the tribe. We want no caribou here. We want caribou. We don't want no oil and gas development on Ironmore development. It's been a long time. The history of my people is here on this piece of land that we've been fighting for many of years to develop our own ways of going, our traditional ways. We fight for our caribou herd, our fruit tree, our berries and stuff. But if the oil company comes in here and look at us the other way, you know, You're gonna ruin this land, you're gonna ruin our fishery, caribou. This is a resource that we survived for many years. Our grandfathers, they're still here. There's still 104-year-old people here in this village. You know, they've been here for many years. They don't want oil and gas. They want to see that caribou to raise up the sex so our children could go on and live that way. The reason why is that it is hard living. State of Alaska is a rich resource place in the state of Alaska, but there is a few numbers of Native people out there that's fighting for their rights, they say, you know. And there is, I know that, it's, you know, there is a lot of other research out there. There is fish, you know, and timber. And this is kind of stuff that we know, we know how to run our system, you know. This is part of it. We don't have a, we're starting a jurisdiction system here in the state of Alaska. If the state of Alaska hear our words, you know. And there's a lot of things here that's been happening for many years, but the Congress never did hear our words. Nothing ever been, I mean, the BIA, there's BIA, there's state of Alaska, but they're not willing to help us, you know. So we depend on this caribou herd. It's very important to us that we have this caribou out there. It's just like our own children, you know. They got trails on the Prudhoe Bay, they got trails over it. You guys block it off, no? There's truck drivers there going up there. Hale wrote that they've been nighttime, they bump off our animals, our marten, our link, you know. This is kind of stuff that we use to survive here. And why? They got it made. They're making, they have checkbooks behind them, they're driving these big Cadillacs, you know, and they're going up to Prudhoe Bay to deliver supplies there. And they're killing off our animals. They have guns right there in Iraq. I see it. I work on a pipeline. You know, it's easy to spot a fresh animal out there alive, and you just jump out and shoot it, and that's it. You skin it down, sell it to the fur company, you know. But there's a lot of things that we need to straighten out to communication between the Congress and the Native people here. They just don't start listening to one another and work ahead, you know. I believe that it's important. It's not only Vinnipai, Arctic Village, and there's a whole Canadian site. There's a lot other people from down the river, down around the coast that take care of this animal herd. They survive out of this. It's not only us, there's a lot of other people there. But like I say, we've been the tribal government for many of years here. And I like to see that we continue our own ways of living, the Indian country way. I think that we're federal people to ourselves under the federal ways of going, you know. And I guess you guys understand what I'm trying to say, but, you know, thanks a lot.
Thank you. We'll take that gentleman. The lady has not, ma'am, did you want to say something?
You.
Come on.
My name is Sarah James, and I'm a healthy here in Arctic Village, resident of Arctic Village, and I was raised up as a subsistence user, my family, and all that, and I'm also a member of the Vinnipai Arctic Village Tribal Government Council member and an Arctic Village Council member. And I've been to Washington, D.C. I noticed that there's a lot of Congress people don't know the our form of government here. And we're not part of any tribal government. And my most concern is we already got approached by NCAP benefits. If there's any, if they go ahead with development, that they would give us a money, royalty, or whatever it is. And we've been already approached by that four different ways. And the people of Arctic Village, the people that they met with Vinnipai and Arctic Village, I just want to make this clear that we don't want no part of that. We just don't want no development at all, and we'll fight all the way. And another thing is, another issue that I want to make sure is clear is that the cost of living. One load of wood that's maybe 10 pieces of wood, about 6 feet long and maybe 10 inches in diameter, and the bottom load about maybe narrower than this table, that's $30. And if the coldest time, that costs $30, and the coldest time of the year, that lasts me 2 days. And on top of that, I have to buy a can of gas for $23, $20 for gas, and $3 for a quart of oil. I don't think that makes any sense to our living situation. If we just let that oil development go ahead, I think it's just, the history is just going to repeat itself, like what happened to North Loughborough. And they said all this oil that's going to be available to the whole United States, the United States going to be ahead of the with oil, or that rich oil up there. It didn't happen. It didn't happen. It didn't happen to Alaska. That's all I can say. Because we still have to struggle. We have to still have to use a bone to scrape off moose skin, and we still have to use dope packs. We still have to use those little outmotor engines and stuff like that. I just don't like to see the history repeat itself. And even before they can even develop, they should correct their own mistake before they can open up for the oil again. Thank you.
Bill, I'd like to say, did I understand you say that you've had people approach you offering you impact aid?
Just talks, that's all, not offer.
Who?
In different areas, you know, just like, what about if, is there, what could you say if there's impact aid? What do you think about impact aid, you know?
Well, who would say that to you?
Just different people that are among
people from here in the village?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm. Not somebody from outside.
No.
Okay.
Just among, and, you know, because among ourselves, and then when we came to have a meeting, we explained it to them, and then they realized that what they were,
Thank you very much. I'd like to call on Norma Cassie from the Old Crow Village, representative of the Yukon Territory Government.
Thank you very much. Honorable committee members, elders of this village, people of Arctic Village, the chief, I want to thank you very much for inviting us here to have this opportunity to express ourselves. We have blood relatives here in Arctic Village. My name is Norma Cassie, and I'm a member of the Yukon Legislative Assembly. I represent approximately 300 Aboriginal people of the Kuchin Nation. Our nation extends into Alaska, Northwest Territories, and Northern Yukon. We are very large numbers when you put us together. All of us depend on the Porcupine Caribou. My heart really hurts right now because we don't have very much time with you. It's like we have to just really rush things through. And I feel very strong that this is a very vital decision that you people have to make in terms of our livelihood for the future. We have our people have a language of our own. We have a strong culture. It's all based on the land. We have been a self-determining people for thousands of years here. We must at some point, as key decision makers of this land, of the United States, of Alaska, and of Canada, come and make a stronger stand on the environmental issues that are happening, the environmental damages that are happening to Mother Earth. We have got to do that. We see what is happening to the migratory birds in the lower 48. We see the consequences up here. We live off of those migratory birds. We see those consequences and we live with them up here every day. We have got to, at some point, come together and try and stop what's happening around us. As far away as we are being affected by the massive developments that are happening around us. Acid rain, nuclear testing, the pollution that people are doing, that are happening in the lower 48. Chemical spills, oil spills from Prudhoe Bay that people don't express, that hasn't come out. We have to take another look at our future. The oil rig that's going to be, even one oil rig that's going to be put into the Anwar area, in that delicate area of the Alaska Coastal Plain, needs 15 million gallons of water. Where are you guys, where are the people going to get that kind of water? There's not enough water in that area. We are very concerned. The reality is, as a young person, I must listen to my elders, and they continue to command a lot of respect. My elders. They continue to teach us and educate us to take care of the land, to hang on to what's left, of what we have left of Mother Earth. There's not too much of it. The caribou is our main source of food. We rely heavily on this vital resource. It's the main essence of our life. And we will not tolerate any development of any kind that may harm the lands of which the porcupine caribou habitat and ourselves. If that development goes ahead, you will hurt the caribou, and in the long term will hurt ourselves. There are a lot of subtle changes that we need to look at. Our lives are being threatened. And I ask on behalf of the people of Old Crow and the Gwich'in Nation that you do your utmost when you make your decision to take our lives into consideration. I also would like to take this opportunity once again to invite the congressional committees or any subcommittees, key decision makers of the United States government, to please come to Canada, see how we live. We will show you how we live. And we have some great people over there that would like to meet you. With this, I want to say thank you very much, Musty Cho.
Thank you for your very nice statement. We have two gentlemen at the back. I'd like you to both step up here together. The two gentlemen in green that had raised their hand. Did you want to say something, both of you? Why don't you both step up? And I believe that would conclude our...
Anybody else want to say? Stanley?
Who else wish to say something?
There's one more from...
Why don't you step up, sir, and step up in the middle. The chief would like to close the meeting after each of you make a brief statement with one of the elders, and then we will make a tour of the village. Why don't we start with you, sir, and once again, please summarize your statement.
Okay, I'm going to ask you to summarize my statement in 2 minutes or less. I'm sorry, my name is Larry Williams, and I'm on the Vinitai Tribal Council. I'm on the Vinitai Village Council, and I'm here representing Vinitai. I don't have much to say about what people have been saying already, and from the consensus that you get, I think you get the feeling that people are against development. Okay, I'm going to ask a few questions of you people. What is the purpose of the House Interior and Insular Affairs Committee, exactly?
The purpose of our committee is, our committee makes the first congressional decision relating to whether there is oil and gas development in the House of Representatives. The Senate then makes a subsequent decision. That's our mandate. That's our jurisdiction.
Okay, and if a powerful oil company would say, any one of them, would you want to develop this coastal plain, would you have any power within your committee to say no, you can't do it?
Of course. The United States Congress can say no.
The Congress as a whole or your committee?
The Congress as a whole. But we are the committee of jurisdiction in the House of Representatives.
And I already know the purpose of your visit. And would what we say here today make any difference?
Yes. I'll let my colleagues speak for themselves, but for me, yes.
Certainly.
Of course it does. What you say is important.
That's where we're
going. The reason I'm asking that question is because historically, the Congress has not listened to the original inhabitants of this land. And you can read in history books what happened to the American Indians and the buffalo they depended on. And we don't want the same thing like Miss Sarah James emphasized a while ago. We don't want history repeating itself. And that's all the questions I have. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
My name is Tanya Dooley. I'm in the Old Program Council in Canada. Stanley Julie, NJOOTLI. I'm also on the band council in the Old Crow community, and I'm also the vice chairman for the Porcupine Caribou Agreement that was signed in 1985, October 26th. And I've also participated in the negotiations for the international agreement to deal with the transboundary herd in terms of the porcupine caribou. And if one of you gentlemen walk around later on this afternoon, if you want to ask any questions, and I can appreciate that and have some discussions with you on the porcupine caribou, on the, some of the technical and the scientific side of how the operation of the porcupine caribou is working in Canada, the In Canada Agreement, which has now been in function for one whole year. And we spoke, I also made a presentation at COVID in that hearing as to for full protection to the wilderness, for a wilderness area within the 1002 lands and the core calving grounds. And because, you know, if there's any development in that area, that's going to affect our livelihood. And when you make a decision, I want you to take in that consideration that you're affecting people's livelihood. And there are 8 communities in Canada who rely on the porcupine caribou herd. And just recently they have some numbers which are accurate as to how much is within that herd, the number and size of that herd. We haven't got that before us yet. There's aerial photos that are just been looked at. So once we know the specific numbers, then we can start dealing with how we can plan for that on Canada's side. But I like to see that international agreement be in effect with the board participating in it. The only section that we left out of that agreement is the 1002 lands for higher and other political reasons.
I'd like you to submit the statement you gave at the Tectovic in writing to this committee. Would you do that? Do you have copies?
I don't have it here with me.
Could you send it to the committee on
the I better know where I can send it to the interior.
We'll get that to you.
Yeah, just give me an address and I can send it.
Thank you, sir.
My name is Kuti Sam and I'm from here in Arctic Village. I'd like to speak in behalf of not only Arctic Village but Interior and also Native people. There's not a place in the United States that you people would recall a wilderness. This northern part in Brook Range is the only place in the United States or around this globe that we can call the wilderness. Just Poole Bay, when it fell in, there have been a lot of damage to ground. And it hasn't been cleaned. If you go up there now, you'll see miles and miles of trucks, tractors. Is this the same thing it's going to be taking place when the oil drill is taking place in the 10 area. That's only food we got here. I cannot go to your yard and do as I please. I have to go by the law then. It's the same thing if the Congress passed and say go ahead and drill. This is the same thing they want to do to us. They were violating our rights. This is what we're afraid of. We've been, you know, my great-great-grandfathers have been living on this, on depending on this cattle herd, and I don't like to see it ends right now. Let's save that oil for our future. You guys got kids too, as well as I do. I want to have something for my kid, a better education, a something that he can rely on. We don't have to use what's out there right now. No need to. Why do we endanger our young soldiers just to have our flag waving on a ship? Why not get something in return? Use their oil. That's all I have. Thanks for listening and okay.
Thank you. Hello, Congressman. My name is Edward Sam, and I was born here in Park Village. I want to say something about the Ant War, you know, for the area 2001 calving area. Well, I want to say something. There's the oil, the action of oil spill up there for the main calving area. They have oil spill. They'll damage the sea mammal, the land mammal, like fish, seal, walrus, quail, land mammals. Like every year, we have some geese, ducks. They migrate all the way up there for their nesting area. All along the coastal area, like oil spill, for example, people make mistakes. Like the Cook Inlet oil spill, it stretched it 50 miles. It damages the fishery department, private fishing industry. What kind of insurance you got if you they got the rights of drilling? I want to ask that question.
Does anybody wish to answer? You said what?
What kind of insurance you got is also preventing the oil spill if that occurs? You going to damage all the cargo? All the birds, sea mammals. I just want to ask that.
Well, of course, there is no answer to the question except to assure that the persons who are operating the oil field do so in a careful and prudent way possible.
Okay, why don't we conclude things with you and where's the chief? All right, the chief was going to have an elder, I think, close the meeting.
Yeah, there's one more after this. Yeah.
Okay, with a prayer, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
He wants to say this about that.
Okay. Because we're only going to have 15 minutes to go around the village and talk to everyone individually, so we really want to conclude this. Go ahead.
Thank you. My name is Paul Williams, Jr., and I'm honored here to speak. One of my uncles gave me this tool here. This is the name Fletcher that I believe my great-grandmother made. And it's, I estimate, she's over way over 100 years old, so I estimate that it's probably 80 or 90 years old. And during the last great ice age, they found the same Fletcher that that they can date back, the age of it is 25,000 years old. And my auntie still used this fleischer today, very identical to the one that was found, that's 25,000 years old. So, as we all know, that the caribou is really important to my people. And to continue to live off the land and still hold on to what's really important, I hope and pray that everything will go well for this situation. Thank you.
All right, the elder will conclude the meeting.
I was in the church for 40 years, my apostleship, until my people organized my language. So luckily I come in and convert from the United States. So I like to say something, but very hard to talk English. I never
did.
If I can. First time this area, but I don't know how many years ago, the people make a living some way. And then later on, some is making such a way to make a living. You don't know, you know, no gun, nothing. Only cowboys can make a snare and bow and arrow. And some is animal, you know, some way to get to kill. That's why they're living here in this area. And then later, some way, and the people making terrible fence. So that time the people here only think about something to eat. Every day was hunting, kill something to eat. Other way, don't do nothing. Everybody, even get a kid. Even ground, something grow, some out to eat. When I was young, I see it, some of it. Little kid, he got something to eat. That's when I see something, berries or something, little meat. After that, this fence, some is killed, lots of cattle, maybe 100 go into the fence. And other place, same way. So here the people, they got lots of food that way. But other countries, they don't, only fish. But that time too many people. That's why that here the village is to come out. And then later, and some one guy, he read the Bible. That's why the talkie on people. And then how to make the race on village. And then that way she started in the people here. So I like you people come to the United States. So my people, they like to help. That's why I don't know how to you. So, I think I know myself, the trouble to pray. I know where to get the help to pray. I know that my government can give it some of my sin. I got help. So that way, my people, native people, make a village here and bring it kind of what you're coming for. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
You should all stand there. I guess you guys are realizing that we tell you all about it. I don't know about it forever.
Just got to recite a prayer.
Closing.
I suppose.
Thank you, God. I'll pray my language. Jenana Gucci, Yanina Hoya Hanaka Chap, Chabunta Sweet Gatik, for a sun particle, another fight. I'm going to talk to Selagnai, Chabunta of the Vedic. For I think the right Gunaki is at the time, Chapter Chapunta put it in the city. That is a to put on meters. I put on the good day, yeah, cheat. Mastering can't touch. The thing is, there's a non-cutting fish. Non-cutting in Christian by the dentist. The dentist took some for a guy. So I tried to take the fish. What is the assassin? The assassin for the fish. Jadi datangnya saya di sana untuk buat kacau sekarang tarah sekarang. Anak itu saya baru ikut cuk. Anak itu kau kunci cuk. Kita kena jadi yang kena kena. Boleh jaga jaga kau tinggal. Anak saya nanti itu boleh tak terus. Kita kena kai kita kena. Tapi ini yang kau tahu nak tak kau buat anak itu saya. Tiada sekolah nak kau. Kau kena jadi kau kau tiada kunci. In the body, the telephone to the neighborhood, in the city, the crash warship, to the car, and the
Can
I
have James? I just want to tell my people about.
The preceding meeting was recorded in Arctic Village on August 12th, 1987.